The first set of rules here, Exodus 20. Exodus 20. The most prominent rules handed down to Moses for our benefit. You know, we all have real sin in our lives that make us worse if we continue them. They don't ever make us better, they make us worse. And just like eating bacon, just like the law of gravity, bad things come from that sin, but for some reason we hang on to those things. So in Exodus 20, verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now that's scary right there. You can be born into that mess. Y'all know that? You sure can. "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is in thine gates. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." That's a good one right there. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Wow, we can't even be jealous. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said this to Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have taught with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. In all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lifted up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Okay, so, wow, that's a lot of rules. Everybody good on that this week? Okay, did we at least not kill anybody? Okay, so nobody died. But that's hard. That's hard stuff to follow. I mean, it was okay when you're into the, okay, don't commit adultery. We can figure that out. Maybe not kill anybody. We can figure that out. But when we start talking about coveting other people's stuff and being jealous over other people's stuff or putting our mouths on people, you know, gossiping or talking about folks, that starts to get kind of rough. Having other gods before the Lord. I mean, we do that all the time if we really think about it. I mean, where do I spend a lot of my brain power? It's not where it should be all the time. So we know that that's the Old Testament, though, right? I mean, that's the law. That's back in the Old Testament. Things have changed since then. Well, what's changed? We don't sacrifice burnt offerings anymore. That was in there, and you know, sacrifice your oxen and your cattle, and make sure that blood is shed for sins. We don't do that anymore, but there's a reason for that. Why is it we don't have to sacrifice animals and shed the blood of animals anymore? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. The final sacrifice was made on our behalf, but it didn't change the law. It didn't change the truth. It didn't change the gravity, the thing that God put in place, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. All that changed since the Old Testament is now we have Jesus' blood to apply to our sins. So now that that's in place, we no longer have to sacrifice animals. God didn't change through any of that. God just made a way for His law to be fulfilled. He made a way for that, for us to be justified through Christ. So what about the other rules? Well, I don't think anything's changed on the other rules. Every bit of it still applies. So, you know, what does God expect from us? Well, He laid out some ground rules. And without us following these ground rules, we are lesser versions of ourselves than we otherwise would be. We suboptimize our lives every time we take on a sin and take that into our lives. We take ourselves a little bit further away out of God's will than He would have us. And we put ourselves a little bit further out of the place where He can bless us. So, if it's just too hard to follow all of them, you know, let's just say, I want to take it in small bites. I can't take all those commandments. I can't process them. I can't make sure I'm in the right place with all of them. So, how can I just kind of focus on the ones that are most important? So let's turn over to Matthew, chapter 22. You mean there are some that are more important? Well, the Bible says there's some commandments we can focus on here. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. This is a beautiful verse because it allows us as human beings to take our brains and focus it on one or two simple things here. And a lot of times if we can do that, we can maybe handle a little bit in our minds and the way we conduct ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" If we can just figure out how to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and we can figure out how to love our neighbors as ourselves, Jesus said right here, that covers everything. Everything else falls into place. So if we want to simplify our lives, we can focus on those two things, right? Now, loving our neighbor as ourselves, that's pretty serious. Because we love ourselves. So if we're going to love our neighbors that much, that's going to take a lot of energy. That's going to take a lot of focus. I saw an article on Barbara Bush today, and she was, I guess she's written a book, and out of the book there's a little excerpt where it talked about when Jeb was running for president against Trump, and you guys know how that went. He didn't get very far. And he called his mom, I think it was after like the second primary, and he realized he wasn't going to make it up. And she told him to come on home, and we'll just focus on helping other people. And that was her words of advice to him. And that was her way to get him off the mindset of not being able to make it to president and move on with his life. I'd say if we can just focus on other people, that'll cure a lot of the problems that are going on with ourselves. So Jesus said that if we would just love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, then we will fulfill everything any preacher's ever said and anything ever any law that's been written in this book. So it's a great place for us to focus our energy. So for God to bless us fully, in order for God to bless us, we have to turn loose of our destructive behaviors. Not focus on ourselves. Now, you know, this can be difficult. And the consequences of letting go of our sins can have varying degrees of impact on us. And we do tend to be self-centered. I know at least I do. I gave a speech the other day at work, and it was something that it was in front of a bunch of people, and you know, it's something I really wanted to do well, and I put a lot of thought into it, and I went through it, and it was 5 minutes. It was just, hey, Randy, stand up and say something. I knew they were going to ask me to. So about 5 minutes, and afterward, I was thinking about, well, how'd that go? And I was kind of obsessing on it. Y'all ever do that? Kind of obsess on, I mean, I'll obsess on this a little bit tonight. So y'all don't tell me how it went because I'll figure it out. But, you know, you're kind of obsessing on it and going through it in my mind. I'm thinking, well, guys, I was starting to feel bad. And I was like, well, maybe I didn't quite get it right. Or maybe it didn't go well. Or maybe I should have said this. And then I thought, you know, everybody in this world is so self-centered. Probably about 10 seconds after I sat down, nobody else in the world but me gave that a second thought. Everybody else was worried about the thing that they were worried about, whether they did right. Everybody else was worried about themselves. No one's worried about me. No one's worried about you. We're so self-centered, we just spend time in our own minds playing things about ourselves through. If you don't believe it, remember, when you're looking through a stack of pictures, we already talked about this, which picture do you stop on and dwell on? The one that you're in. And then you flip 4 more pictures and you find another one that you're in and you stop. Why do we do that? Does anybody not do that? You go look for, yeah, okay. Ms. Peggy doesn't do it. Well, 99% of the people do that. We are self-centered. So, God is good and He wants what's best for us. But He does expect us to work. He does expect us to use our talents for His glory. And I think about the 3 servants and the story of the talents over in Matthew 25, if you ever want to go ahead and turn. This is one of my favorite parables in the Bible. Matthew 25:14. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Verse 15, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey." You see, they got the talents based on their ability. And the Lord here, the Lord of the house, he's the one that decided who got what. And that's kind of the way God works. God decides who gets what. So what does God expect from me? He expects me to utilize my talents that he's given me in proportion to those gifts. So if God's given me 3 talents, he expects me to use my talents in proportion to the 3 that he gave me. If he gave me 1, then he expects me to use my talent in proportion to the 1 that he gave me. If he gave me 10, he expects me to use my talents in proportion to the 10. God expects from us based on what he's equipped us with. Luke 12:48 says, But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You see, we're at an advantage here in Liberty Baptist Church. We get the truth, and we get light, and we get to see God move. And because we've seen that, there's much expected of us. God has given us something. He's given us something that not everyone sees. And there's much expected of us. We don't get to make goofball decisions like the rest of the world and not suffer consequences from it. Because in this forum, in this environment, we've seen God move. Now, if someone's never experienced that and they go make a boneheaded worldly move and they get themselves in a mess, that's one thing. But if one of us do it after having seen what God is and what God's all about, that's a bigger mess. Because to whom much is given, much is required. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that having seen light and having seen God's hand, that we don't get ourselves in a place where we ignore that. And we ignore that gift that God's given us. So, in verse 16, then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. You see, there's always a reckoning. It just happens. There's always a reckoning. We will reap what we sow. If we spend our lives in fear of stepping up, crushed by our sins, holding to destructive behaviors, a reckoning is sure. So in verse 20, so he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. You say, well, some people just have it all. They get 5 talents, and next thing you know, they got 10 talents. And then they got 20 talents, and then they got 40 talents. I mean, some people just got it made. Well, the servant did exactly what he was asked to do. He was given certain abilities, he was given the talents, and he went and doubled the talents. We can't hold that against him. We can't be jealous of that. We got to look at what God's given us and what God's expected from us, and we got to go make what we can of that. That's what God would have us do, because in verse 21 he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. See, even 5 was a few. Evidently, the Lord of this house had a whole lot more than 5 to give. Well, what if it had been 20? Well, okay, maybe he had a whole lot more than 20 to give. Well, guess what God's got? God might give us 1 talent, but he's sitting on endless talents. God might give us 1,000 or 1,500 or 10 million. But we never get to the point where God has given us anything that depleted him. He, in verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. See, now this is what I want to highlight. The one with 5 talents that had made 10 got a certain response. His response was, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, he that received two talents got a similar response. It was very close. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things." Wait, they got the exact same response. What do you mean? 5 turned into 10, 2 turned into 4. Well, 4 is less than what the one with 5 talents even started with. He hadn't even caught up yet. He hadn't even got close to what the first one started with. Yet he got the exact same response from the Lord. Y'all getting this? It's all about God seeing our faithfulness and our obedience to do with what He's given us and bring honor to and appreciation to what He's put in our care. So verse 23 says, we just read that. So verse 24 says, "Then he which hath received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast, that is thine." Okay, so this servant said, "I was afraid. I was afraid." So his fear led him, it robbed the blessing of him applying himself. This man put his Lord in a box. He said, "I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were somebody that would bring a reckoning if I lost the talent. I knew you were somebody." So he's describing the Lord in his terms. He's putting him in a box. Now, these other two servants were dealing with the same hard man. They were dealing with the same person, and instead of letting fear freeze them, they went and did something with it. But this man decided, no, I'm just going to, I'm afraid of what might happen. I'm going to hide behind that fear. He made an excuse is what he did. He made an excuse and he blamed it on the Lord. He made an excuse and he blamed it on somebody else. You'll find that a lot of people who are sitting in failure are sitting in that failure pointing all around them at why everybody else let them down and why nobody would support them and why this didn't happen because I just couldn't get there because this one and that one and that one didn't do it. That's where people sit. And if we are always going to look around and we're always going to blame, there's no place to go from there. Because guess what? If it's all true, you can't fix them. So you might as well just fail. You can't fix the whole world. You can't go grab people and say, "Why don't you support me in this way? Why aren't you there? Why this? Why that?" The best thing to do is look in the mirror and say, "You know what? I probably got a part in this. I probably own some of this. And I'm going to work on what I can influence. I'm going to work on what I can change. And I'm going to start making changes." And people that take ownership and take action, they end up making progress. Well, this man, he said, "For one thing, I'm scared. I got fear. And I don't trust that you're going to be fair to me, so I'm just going to go hide this." And oh, by the way, when it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to go hide something, it's a one-time event, and the work's done. Well, the 5 talents and the 2 talent servants, they had to go make things happen day after day after day. So not only was he blaming other people, but he was just flat lazy. God expects us to put forth energy to apply our talents. So when it comes to the ultimate judgment, the only thing that will matter is if the blood of Jesus is applied to our sins. Now, our works will be measured based on what we've been able to do with our talents. But that won't determine our salvation or not. Our salvation will be determined whether the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives. So, in verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Oh, he went ahead and called him lazy. "Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed." See, there's a reckoning coming. He didn't utilize his talent. "Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There was a price to pay here. So God does have expectations in our lives. In our homes, in our work for church, in our work, He has expectations that we put forth energy. God doesn't need anything we have to offer. He needs nothing from us. But to bless us, we have to understand the laws that He set up. The lifestyle He expects, the heart He would have from us, and we have to be positioned ourselves to receive what He wants for us. I think God wants great things for us. I think God wants prosperity for us. I think God wants blessings for us. I really think God wants what's best for us. And I believe if we can position ourselves with humility and with obedience and with love, then and we can do as He said and put God first and put others first. And I think we can put ourselves in a place where He can bless us and He can take care of us. But when we don't position ourselves in those places, how can He? How can He bless us? How can He bless us in a way when we're not in a place where He can issue His blessings? So God wants things for us, not so much from us. And God is always looking to build us up. And sometimes God has to break us down to build us up. Sometimes God has to hurt us to help us. You see, Satan, he's always trying to hurt us. He's always looking to destroy. And sometimes he blesses us to destroy us. Sometimes we get in a very independent position. Maybe it's fame, maybe it's fortune, maybe it's popularity, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's everything we ever asked for, maybe it's position. And the whole time he's destroying us, giving us exactly what we want to destroy us. You see, God can give us all those things too, but he can't let us be prideful people in the process. He can't bless pride. So sometimes he has to notch us down a few notches so that he can bless us, so that he can help us. Satan always seeks to destroy, and God always seeks for our good. So what does God expect from us? Well, he does have laws of the universe and laws of his word and things set up in the way he's got the world working that can position us to receive his blessing. But really, he just wants our obedience, and he wants us to love him and to focus on him and to focus on others. And that's what he can do. He can bless us in those positions. So that's all I got. Thank you for your time.